What's up, you guys, and welcome back to the Revolution of the Black Woman Will Be Televised podcast. I am one of your hosts, Danielle Bailey.
And I am your co-host, Tamika Rhines.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to another episode. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Come on.
I wish I could see my face. I'm so excited that almost sounded right.
Baby, y'all gonna get these songs, okay? every time. What theme song? Us. So, what's up, you guys? Welcome back. Happy Sunday, everybody. I hope everybody's having an amazing Sunday. So, today's topic is a topic that we're gonna talk about that's kind of like, I wanna say near and dear to our hearts and stuff. Today's topic is like how to keep going when you feel like God isn't answering or he's not there.
Ooh wee.
You know?
This is gonna be a real life, real time testimony kind of session.
Right, you know, like how do we really keep going, and like how do you really keep pressing to just keep on going when you're just like, God, like you're not coming through, or I don't see that you're coming through, you know, but it just, things just keep on piling on top of each other or whatever. So like, I kind of want us to just talk about that. Like, how do you keep on going? Like, what does that look like for you?
Lived experience. In the year of our Lord and Savior 2023, in all of my 37.7 years of life, Every day is the walking out of keep going. Some days are tearful.
Yeah.
Some days are exciting. Some days you feel a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Some days you feel like there's absolutely no hope. Like real deal, no hope. I'm not talking about a bad day. I'm talking about real deal hopelessness.
Yeah.
And for me personally, the option to give up just wasn't there. You know, not because all my children depend on me. Of course, my children are one of my greatest blessings from heaven, but it was beyond them.
Yeah.
In a point in my life when I was hopeless, in my mind of depression and hopelessness, they were going to be okay.
Yeah.
My family would take care of my children. So children in a hopeless place for me was not a saving grace. Now, fast forward years from that place I was, I can see it differently. And I could say I would never, because of the mind and the health that I have now. But true hopelessness, there's no light. There's no winker of hope anywhere that you try to search for it. For me, it was crying myself to sleep and getting on back up.
Right.
Getting on back up. And I call it hopelessness, but you've got to have some level of hope, even if it's just a dash, you know, a pepper flake of hope. Just the goal to get up again is, I think, is how you make it. You know, when I felt like God had turned himself on me, it was in a hopeless place that my heart was actually open to hear him. And I will tell this testimony from from the moment it happened to the day I die. And I know how many of us was raised in church and religion, and I have nothing against church and religion. I love the church that I was raised in. However, when I was at my worst, I had a bottle of alcohol in a big old tub.
Ooh.
And crying and sobbing and drinking just to go to sleep. And when I tell you, I had never been that internally broken, and it wasn't anything that anybody had inflicted upon me. It was all by the handiwork of my own hands, my own thoughts, my own behaviors. It was the place where God let me know he hadn't turned his back on me, that I was drifting. And that's what my drifting away looked like. Ooh. So as a personal testimony, I got up. If that means, at one point it looked like crawling. At one point, it looked like I can't see clear because my eyes are so swollen.
Right.
Not that anybody punched me in the face. It was that from crying, from welling, from breaking, from burning, from I mean, everything that this life will put you through, you know, where do you go? How do you find hope again? It's by doing whatever it takes to keep going. And at one point in my life, that was alcohol.
Yeah.
No lie about it.
Yeah.
No lie about it. But the Holy Spirit met me with my alcohol in my hand.
Bruh, that just reminds me. I don't know who I told that to. I think it was, I told you that, that I wanted to create a shirt that said, God, therapy, and Pink.
Let the people know who Pink is.
So Pink is Pink Whitney. It is liquor. It is alcohol. And like that's my girl. She has never, and it's cheap too, you know. Let me say that. She is cheap, but she has never let me down in what she was supposed to do to get it to me right, to get me calm, to get me like just take the edge off. And I think that, you know, like, I'm so glad that we're doing this podcast to just even show like the realness,
the
about
realness,
who we really and truly are, and like how I can see how people get addicted.
Yes, ma'am.
I can see, but it's just the grace that is upon us. It's God meeting us where we are. It's who we are as, you know, as therapists, and we are seeking therapy at the same time that's able to say, all right, you done went too far.
Yeah.
It's time for you to get back up. It's time for you to come on.
And let's see why you need a substance to help you with the matters you can really work on.
Yeah.
Now, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anybody any false idea of the healing journey. Mm-hmm. It is painful. It is uncomfortable. You have to go to some ugly places, of mm-hmm. which most of us have used some kind of substance or liquid courage to get through, to quiet down any kind of trauma, whatever you've gone through. You know, if it takes a substance, then for me, what I've learned is there's something I need to work on. There's something going on mm-hmm. here that I need something outside of myself, outside of my spirituality to be able to cope with.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what helps me personally. And recently I've learned in working with substance abuse population is that they can hear my story, which I haven't lived 30 years as an addict. I can't tell this long recovery story, but I can say there's some parts that I can resonate with, and we're both human. We're both having a human experience. And until I got to a broken place and I decided that, you know, I can't go down this road that was about to snowball with alcohol.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit came and met me in an open-hearted, broken-hearted space that I said, well, wow. Okay.
Right.
Let me clean my face up and put this back in the freezer and see what this is really about. And then the journey started.
Yeah.
And then, you know, truly seeing Tamika for who Tamika is, not what somebody did to Tamika when she was 11, mm-hmm. not to, you know, what happened in her marriage, not to all of the things that people wanted to say, oh, that's why she's posting this stuff about healing, or that's why she must be. Is it all interconnected? Yes. But the deeper understanding, the deeper work is within your soul. Yeah. The healing work comes from the soul and who you are. Yeah. So my prayer was, and sometimes I regret that. I regret praying this prayer. Lord, show me me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not the me that everybody else sees. Yeah. That's not the me that my children see. That's not the me that everybody who's all, we all dress real nice at 8 o'clock Sunday morning service. Yeah. That's not the me that people at work see.
Yeah.
The me that the Lord showed me, I was even not so consciously aware of, or had at least lived in denial long enough that it didn't look familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the work started.
Yeah. That is, like, I think that right there in itself is the realness behind the journey of when it comes to healing and things of that nature. People think that healing is just this easy sunshine and roses. And it's like, nah, it's the you being, you seeing you. And I remember some things that God told me about me. I was like, who is that?
Now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Where you trying to go with that, Doc? Where you trying to go?
Who is that girl? Who? My God. Like, what's that?
It's humbling.
Yeah, you know, like, what's that really? Is that really me? And he's like, yeah, this is you. And then he's like, So I use you when I need you. That what you tell me? He was like, yeah.
God told you that about how your relationship is with him?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
You use me when I need you. Yeah, that's you. That's you. That's you, daughter. I was like, you sure? He's like, yeah.
No, the Holy Spirit got a way of taking your breath away.
That's you. That's you. That's you right there. You know, you do that. So, like, what now?
Yeah.
You know, God, I'm.
Because you can't unknow it.
Right. You know,
once you know it, once you see it, you cannot unknow it and you cannot unsee it.
Right.
But I also think that that's how you keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I think as you get new knowledge about yourself, maybe about the people who are connected to you and how you're in relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you keep going when you're in a hopeless place or when you feel like your prayers aren't being answered. I know a lot of people rely on their spirituality alone.
Yeah.
Some people combine spirituality and faith and, you know, previous examples of when God has showed up in their life in conjunction with a support system.
Yeah.
So I think it looks different for everybody. I think we can share what it looks like for us, but it's up to the listeners to kind of sit back and reflect and say, you know, was there a time in my life where I felt like I couldn't go on, and how did I make it to today?
Right.
And pull some nuggets from the past.
I think so too. And I think that sometimes, I know that for me, when I've been in such a hopeless place with God and stuff like that, and I never forget, it was back in, was it 22? Yeah. I was in such a dark place with God right before Mental Health Awareness Month. And so I remember going through with God, and I'm just like, look, it was rough for them days. I mean, I remember who that was. One of my old colleagues called me from Shreveport, and she's like, I was just calling to check Rachel. She's like, I was calling to check on you.
Shout out to Rachel.
Yeah, shout out to her. You have fell in my spirit. And I was just like, I just told her everything. I was like, Rachel, I'm going through this. I was already at the river. I was like, I'm going through this and this. And I was like, if I jump up in here and I don't flow back up, I'll be all right.
Ooh-wee. True hopelessness.
I said, I would be all right. Like, and can we talk about that? Like, I think that, you know, like sometimes we don't understand when they say suicidal ideation, when they talk about suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. We think that, oh, you know, like, I don't think that people understand how common they really are with people in saying statements like, if God was to come through here tomorrow and take me, I would be okay. That could be considered a suicidal ideation.
Right.
And like some of those, like, I actually have those. Like, have I ever really had a plan? No. But have I been okay with if my life was to end it in some aspect? Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I think it's not talked about.
No.
And I know that suicide prevention is really hot, as it should be. But where's the community around being able to be in a safe space enough to say, and it be addressed appropriately, versus the extremes that we take? And I know the extremes are necessary when you're talking about safety and preserving life. You know, where is the community to say, without being shunned, without being gratitude shamed, you know, how can I work through this? How can I? Because I think for me in my past, when I've gotten to a point that I've had the, you know, if somebody ran me off the road and I ain't make it, it'd be all right. So I just hope my child makes it. I just hope my children make it. You know, that I didn't consider one person in my life, out of all the people in my life, that I could say that to and them not either look at me sideways, you know, tell me something that makes me feel worse, or, you know, maybe call 911, you know. You know, so how did I work through that? How did I keep going when I feel like I had no holy comforter, when I feel like I had no, you know, angel on earth to minister to me?
Yeah.
I cried about it.
Yeah.
I told God, this is honestly how I feel.
Yeah.
Most of the time I was probably in the tub with the glass of something.
Yeah.
Crying about it.
Right.
Like, I don't truly want to die, but that's how hopeless I feel.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it gets mixed up as far as in safety and preserving life.
Yeah.
Not everybody who thinks that way necessarily wants to die. They actually just feel hopeless and they don't see a sense of reason for living past that.
Right, right. And that's the, like, that's the place that I'm in. And I can, and now I've become better with understanding, like, some of my, when I go into it, when I do have a depressive episode, the suicidal thoughts are there. Like, they're just like, yo, if they're there and they're more common. And so, like, I remember, like, back then when I was having those moments, like, I was just like, yo, life was just life and it was just a lot. And I remember being at the lake and I was just crying. Mind you, crying in between sessions. At the lake, in between sessions.
Helping other people.
Like, I'm going to go here. I'm going to stay. I done stayed out here too long. So I got to jump on my call at 3 o'clock. At that time, I was doing a lot of virtual. So at 3 o'clock, I'm at the person see me at the lake. They're like, oh, what you doing at the lake? And I'm like, oh, just out here, just, you know.
Enjoying nature,
you know, not knowing that I'm having a breakdown myself, but because I know that my purpose is far greater sometimes than what I, like,
currently feel
going through or how I'm actually feeling. So I need to get on the phone and help you and you feel better. And then I'm just like, how the hell I can help them feel better? But I can't do it for my own self.
Now, that's a whole nother episode about being a helper.
Yes.
Whether you're a therapist, whether you're some kind of licensed counselor, whether you're a pastor, mm-hmm. whether you're a nurse, a physician. If you're in any kind of helping profession or you do something for a living where you uplift and take care of other people.
Right.
Even if it's not a profession, if you're a mother, if you're
right.
anybody who has a capacity or a role where you have to give of yourself, it may not be finances,
yeah.
time, energy, effort, emotional investment,
right.
mental space. It is rarely, for my experience, and maybe I don't talk to enough people, but it is rarely talked about how you give to people and they feel better, and then you have to come back to who and where you really are in that time and space, and it may not look like your best.
Right.
It may actually look like your worst.
Right, right. And so, like, it's just that, like, and then even still being, like, having that experience, and I remember, like, having those phone calls, and I remember, like, when I was in that hopeless space, and I remember talking to God, like, yo, I am mad at you. I'm angry with you. I feel hopeless. I feel this and I feel that. And the reason why I know it's in May and I can kind of pinpoint a date is because I remember I was going to speak that Sunday at a church. I was going to Oakland to speak in Oakland and Shreveport. And I remember it was that Sunday. And I remember it was about Thursday or Friday of that week. And I was like, God, I'm so mad. Like, blah, blah, this. I mean, I'm going off. I feel hopeless. I feel this. I need you to answer my prayers. And do you know what that man told me? He said, clear as day, I know that you're angry and I know that you're mad. But you're going to have to table that because you got business on Sunday.
Oh, wee.
I hear what you say. Clearly, I hear what you're saying, daughter, but you're going to have to take that. I'm not finna answer that prayer right now because you got business on Sunday and you got to be ready.
So what did you do?
Got up, left the river, and when it was about my father's business.
Ooh,
on Sunday.
Wee.
So when we talk about that, just that makes me so teary-eyed because it's like I was really in a dark place. And
yeah.
I can remember just some of these Bible characters and stuff like that.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
When we start really talking about them and like they feeling hopeless and they feeling this. And God still says, I'm not finna answer your prayer right now. But you need to get it together because Sunday you have to speak to my people.
My God.
And I remember going to the church. God got up, gave me a message about what I was supposed to speak about. I think I'm speaking. And then in the midst of that, I felt like even the preacher said, I was like, I'm supposed to, because I remember I talked to my therapist about it because my therapist is a pastor too. And I was like, yo, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to preach? It's 11 o'clock hour. Like what? He was like, be yourself.
My God.
And whoever that is, whoever that comes out, that's who you are. And so I remember the preacher was
that
like,
by itself can be scary.
Right. And I remember like, and then you're trying to combine faith, mental health, and all of that. And so I remember there was a rundown in the middle of the speech about talking about who had depression. Like when I was saying that some of the symptoms I feel like that God had was depression. So I was rattling off Bible verses, and it like my tempo sped up, and it was like, you know how you do that. And so the preacher say, I don't know, afterwards he was like, I don't know if he was teaching. He said, then you started preaching. And then like, I mean, he was like, you did good. You did really good or whatever. And I remember telling them, I said, you know, I said, even this week when we start talking about mental health and we start feeling hopeless, I was like, I was hopeless this week. I say, and I was in a such a bad space. I said, God told me to get up.
I think I remember seeing a video clip of that and how amazing it was, because you were talking about mental health in the church.
Yeah.
And you gave scriptural references about biblical characters who dealt with depression or symptoms of depression, dark times in their life, the Savior himself praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before it was time for him to carry out his business and what that looked like. And then given a personal testimony about how you were currently in the walk that you were preaching about.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I feel like later on God answered some of that prayer, but it was not then.
Yeah.
It was not in that moment at all of one of the hopelessness. So it's like, when I say, what do we do? Sometimes you don't have, you have a choice. But I feel like the Holy Spirit is there, is telling you, you don't have a choice.
But to keep going.
But to keep on going.
Whatever that looks like.
Whatever that looks like. And so then I find gratitude in the Holy Spirit being there and telling me to get up, and me being able to get up.
Yeah.
Because some people in that situation choose not to get up.
Yeah.
And then that begins to be lead down the road of suicide and all that they continue to do. Be more in substance abusers, then become to be addicts and stuff like that. So then it's like, God, I'm grateful that you told me to get up, and I had enough to get up, because then that could have been the route that I chose
to destruction.
To destruction.
That's grace.
Right.
That's grace.
And so it's just like,
I think the realness of experiencing grace gives you compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it gives you motivation to get up, to keep going, but it also gives you compassion to help somebody else.
Absolutely.
When you know that there was something much greater and far more outside of you that has helped you.
Yeah.
Even though we're going to go through low cycles in life, when you've had that experience of something outside, you knew you couldn't do it by yourself.
Yeah.
You knew you couldn't do it in your own strength, in your own power, in your own thought processes. Because I was at the bottom of the bottom with my own thought process, with my own methods, with my own remedies and my own strategies. I was at the bottom, being a very well-educated woman.
I had
personally, at the bottom, got myself to the bottom, what I felt like was the bottom for me, while still lifting people up, you know, being a therapist, being a case manager, training in interns, watching them flourish, and, you know, and everybody on the surface saw something so beautiful, not seeing internally what was really happening.
Right.
And it took sitting down with a therapist, and it took breaking down in, you know, in my prayer time. And it wasn't no cute little prayer. It was a cussing and a fussing, and this is how I really feel.
Yeah.
And then taking the correction that I needed at that time, taking the grace that I saw was extended to me when he was like, daughter, life is a vapor.
Come on.
I can snatch that thing at any time.
Come on.
Fact that you're still here says that I have something for you. Just because you don't have all the answers right now doesn't mean you're at the end of the road. If you were at the end of the road that I have for you, I already came and got you.
Come on, right?
I feel like we can. It's individual. Let me say that.
Yeah.
It's individual, and it's a working through. When you don't have the answers, what does it look like? You're working through it.
Yeah. And it's okay to be there too.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what we have to call. And also remember, too, that it's okay to be there. It's okay not to have all of the answers sometimes and stuff like that. And that just goes back to the day-by-day living.
Yeah.
Like, that goes back to some of that aspect. I remember, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to live by this. Like, I'm going to give this a try, you know, because I cannot see ahead of me. And if I look back, what's behind me, that's just going to make me depressed and make me want to go backwards. But no, I have to keep going.
Yeah.
You know?
Wherever you are, and however you feel about wherever you are, usually brings you to the next step. It may not be the grand answer. It may not be, I've met this goal. You know, whatever you're discouraged about, whatever you feel like your prayers aren't being answered about, but wherever I am right now today, and maybe what I desire that to look like usually gives you enough seasoning. Mm-hmm. You know, it gives you a little more flavor to then put the next foot out. Yeah. You know, you got one step at a time, one moment at a time. If it's not even for yourself, if you can't even see it for yourself, attach yourself to something greater. Mm-hmm. Attach yourself to a mission.
Yeah.
Find a purpose. I would say, even if it's not something that you can actionably do, maybe you attach yourself to someone who can feed you.
Yeah.
I know for myself, I was surrounded by people.
Yeah.
I still am surrounded by people. Mm-hmm. But where I was at my darkest time, I didn't hear anybody, I didn't hear none of what all these people were saying. Mm-hmm. They were trying to be encouraging. They didn't know what to say. They were scared for me. They were anxious for me. They were telling me that they were anxious for me. They were telling me what their opinions were. You know, oh, we're praying for you. Because I didn't know what else to do, because none of those people at their best effort could help me internally because I hadn't let anybody in.
Yeah.
So that was my part on it. I had to say, Lord, you're going to have to send me some angels or I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
And that was just my honest prayer. You know, that prayer didn't have cussing in it, but, but it was a tearful late night, can't sleep, get out of the bed, make a cup of coffee, sit on the couch, from the crying in the bed to crying on the couch, maybe laying on the floor, fetal position, whatever it looked like on any particular given time. Lord, you're going to have to send me somebody who can minister to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting anything that I need. You know, I'm going to church. I'm listening to sermons. I got this YouTube. I'm following this person on YouTube and I'm following this podcast and I'm, you know, hungry for it and searching for some type of inspiration, some type of golden nugget that I can grab onto and make it through the day. And none of that was working. And he said, bet it'll come when you least expect it. And that's exactly what happened. And I didn't even know it was happening until months later when I reflected upon it.
Yeah.
At the least expected time, in the least expected place, there were angels that were sent to minister to me to help me keep going.
Mm-hmm. He'll look out for his people. Even though some of the tests he sent you through, I'll be like, my why? You couldn't email me that or tell me that? Why did I have to go through that for myself? Okay, you could have shot me an email or something.
You could have sent me these instructions on 1 through 10.
Step by step, you better do this, okay?
Just put must in the sentence and capitalize it and make it bold and make it red. And I can follow that. But he definitely does for me, has taken me through some things for me to learn some lessons. And I do feel the same as you. And it becomes a cynical joke.
Yeah.
Like, God, you couldn't, you know, the very popular meme at the beginning of the year was like the person on the telephone calling heaven to make sure that I signed up for the soft season in 2023 and not the strongest soldier on the battlefield season.
I guess he didn't get my memo. But I don't know if I shared the post or not, but I don't think he got that memo. And this season is definitely one of the...
It's actually harder. I would say... The seasons of 2023, and I'm sure you can agree, has been harder than all of 22 together.
You know, like, I'm just like, my boy, like, this is a difficult season, you know? And then you start feeling, sometimes you need to start, like, I know, like, for me, Like, if I'm like, oh my God, I just don't want to be here. Then later on, well, God, I'm sorry. Now I feel guilty because I don't want to be here. But then I know that there's purpose.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I know there's purpose on my life. And then if I don't fulfill my purpose, like, then it just begins to be guilt. And it's just like, yo, I just be like, I'm cycling at this point. Help me, God.
That's an honest prayer.
I am cycling at this point. Help me, please. And he's just like, go on. You're all right.
So, I think we let our minds run away.
Yeah.
For me, mm-hmm. we can let our minds run away and become irrational. Mm-hmm. And that can create a lot of the cycle that I go through.
Yeah.
Is that I start overthinking or underthink or I don't process. You know, we can create that cycle ourselves. And then when we go back to prayer or back to whatever calms you, soothes you, grounds you, mm-hmm. we can get back refocused.
Yeah. I know God be laughing at us, be like, yo.
I know the Holy Spirit be sick of me.
Oh, come on, y'all.
The Holy Spirit is like a GPS for life.
Yeah.
Like, and I will take my own route and be like, oh, I got it from here. And Holy Spirit was like, here we go again. Rerouting. Here you go again, thinking you got it from here.
Like, I know the Holy Spirit be like, girl, like, really though? Like, and I just think that, like, I guess it, I really grasped the concept this year. I'm not going to even lie. I really grasped the concept this year that the Holy Spirit is really in and everything that we do, we should consult with him.
Yeah.
And it was like something that was just so simple. And I was like, I'm going to go Google, I'm going to go ask Facebook. And all the Spirit was like, well, how about you ask me?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, that's kind of beneath you. He was like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not beneath me. You know, we think that sometimes we need to go tough answers, tough difficulties that we, you know, tough things that we're going through and all of that. We think that that's when we should consult the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is like, nah, you should consult me every day.
Everything and every day.
Everything and every day. I am not too big nor too small to answer your questions or your problems or to give you something. And that's where I was like, oh, that's how I messed up on that, huh? Because I felt so, you know. But yeah, that's what we got today.
That's how we make it. That's how we make it. This is a true account.
Yes.
Real life, real time account of how we are making it, what our experiences have been in the past. When we look back on how have we made it and how does that apply to how we're making it today, I feel like there's levels to it.
Yeah.
And every time you come through something that you felt hopeless about, you go to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that is all we have today on today's podcast. I am one of your hosts, Danielle Bailey.
I am Tamika Rhines, and we will talk to you guys again next time.
Yes, we will see you next Sunday. Bye, y'all.